I wanted to say I had dialogue with two priests that are I'm very close to and are friends of mine. I asked both of them. I said, what would happen if someone came to you with a fiducia supplicans, with a request for a blessing, and you knew that they were in a state of living in a state of sin with another dude, or a woman with another woman, or a dude with another dude? And the first priest told me, he goes, I would give them a list of things that they would have to do. And then after they had done them, then I would consider it. But they're not going to do it because it would end basically in the union. I asked the second priest. I'm not going to tell you who it was, but you guys could probably guess. He was not no, but hell no. And don't make me reach for my gun. So there are, you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
So there are good priests out there that are going, no, uh-uh, and no, and the church can't make me do it. It's against the teaching. I'm not going to do it. But, brother, we now have the Coptic Orthodox acting more Catholic than the Catholics, or at least expressing something that's more Catholic than the Catholics.
Yes, and this follows soon on the heels of Metropolitan Hilarion doing something similar, although he didn't have he wouldn't have had the authority, and he didn't come out and say that we're suspending official dialogue with the Catholic Church. So yeah, I mean, it was the Russian Orthodox Church, which is the single largest communion within the Orthodox, you know, communions that are not in union with Rome, right? The Russian Orthodox are by far the largest. And so when Metropolitan Hilarion, who used to be in charge of what the Russian Orthodox Church calls the Department of External Affairs, I believe, or Foreign Affairs, something like that.
Right.
In other words, it's their equivalent of what we would call the head of the Dicastery for Ecumenism. And so he was heavily involved in ecumenical dialogue, and now he's the Metropolitan, I guess, of Budapest. He's in Hungary. So, he had an interview with your old pal, the American guy from Louisiana, who's now living in Hungary, who became Orthodox.
Rod Dreher.
Rod Dreher. So, Metropolitan Hilarion, who's a very interesting character. He's a composer. He's a very erudite man, very educated. He came out with a statement basically condemning. He said he was shocked. That's a direct quote. He was shocked about the contents of fiducia supplicans, and he said that Catholicism had been, the Catholic Church had always been a beacon of traditional Christianity. This is a direct quote. The Catholic Church, we always say the Catholic Church is a beacon of traditional Christianity, the church which always supports the traditional Christian values and moral teaching, in spite of the fact that from many different angles it is attacked for its traditionalism and stubbornness. So he called the document deceitful and also dangerous. So that's Metropolitan Hilarion. So soon after that, on March 7th, there was this meeting of the synod, a plenary session of the Holy Synod of the Coptic Orthodox Church in Egypt, which then came out with a statement, and they said that the church emphasized its recognition emphasizes rejection of same-sex relations, supporting her opinion with many biblical verses, and clearly declare the rejection of such relationships that are contrary to the human nature that God created. So he made it really clear. I mean, and this is where they say something rather harsh. In the ecumenical milieu, this is very harsh.
Okay.
After consultation with the sister churches of the Eastern Orthodox family, it was decided to suspend the theological dialogue with the Catholic Church, reevaluate the results that the dialogue has achieved since its beginning 20 years ago, and establish new standards and mechanisms for the dialogue to proceed. So they made it very clear what their teachings are, and so here, you know, now mind you, the Coptic, when we talk about the Russian Orthodox and the Coptic Orthodox, the word Orthodox here is used differently, because the Coptic Orthodox, so-called, are in official schism from the Greek Orthodox and the Russian Orthodox, in other words, the main body of Orthodox groups, because the Coptic Orthodox only recognize three ecumenical councils. They only recognize Nicaea I, Constantinople, and Ephesus, which defined, you know, that Our Lady is the Mother of God. They recognize those three, but they reject the subsequent. They rejected Chalcedon, and there's a reason for that. And the subsequent three other councils after Chalcedon that the main trunk of Orthodox groups actually hold. So these guys hold three ecumenical councils. The Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, and so on, they believe in seven, and we have 21. So it's kind of a mess. But anyway, they did not accept the Catholic Church's condemnations of the heresy of Monophysitism, and therein with the Armenian Apostolic Church. In Armenia, of course, and in the huge Armenian diaspora all around the world, and they're also allied with the main group, the most numerically significant group, in Ethiopia and Eritrea, which is the so-called Ethiopian Orthodox Church.
Okay.
So these Copts are based in. By the way, Coptic. The Egyptians don't call themselves Egyptians, except I guess when they're speaking English or certain other non-Arabic languages. They are Copts, and the Egyptian is a Greek word that was anciently applied to the Copts, to the Coptic people.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they call themselves Copts. And the Coptic church, it's just like calling it the Egyptian church, right? Okay. So, and there's a huge, there's a substantial Catholic uniate group of Ethiopians of the Eastern Rite. Of Egyptians of the Eastern Rite. So there is a Coptic uniate group. They're Catholic. They have the same liturgy, the Alexandrian liturgy. And the head of the Coptic Orthodox Church is called the Pope, because there is actually a historical anomaly there. The head of the Patriarch of Alexandria was given the title Pope, at least locally. So Pope Tewodros II is the current patriarch. I call him patriarch of the Coptic Orthodox Church. So these are the guys that rejected this. And yeah, I mean, I have serious problems with them because they have Christology that's problematic. They have a lot. Their ecclesiology is problematic. They have a lot of errors that they've adopted over the years. But here, they're defending something having to do with Catholic morals, which, unfortunately, there's a very ambiguous message coming out of Rome these days. It's not that Rome said, we are officially allowing these perverse relationships. They made it clear that the church isn't sanctioning this, and they made it clear that it's not marriage and all that stuff. But you can't just say the Catholic Church's teachings on marriage remain intact. Marriage is a unique union that's indissoluble. It's a sacramental in nature between one man and one woman. You can't say that and then turn around and say, but we will give blessings to homosexual couples that are quote-unquote non-liturgical blessings, whatever that means. And there are a lot of people challenging even the existence of such a thing.
Right.
And have people still not get a confused message? You know, when the scripture says, when the trumpet sound gives an uncertain call, you know, the troops don't rally. I mean, that's a paraphrase.
Well, let me set a couple of things out here. First of all, this is Brother Andre Marie of the St. Benedict Center. For all of you that are new listeners out there and our first flagship affiliate down the line, WXKG 1010 in Atlanta, you can find Brother hiding in plain sight. His website is at Catholicism.org. He is the prior of the St. Benedict Center there and has been a member of our Crusade Radio Network team since day one. So he is our go-to expert on matters matters of all things Catholic. So that's why I called him up on today's show. The second thing is, we know that this thing is sowing confusion. We also know that it's being used out there for illicit purposes, exactly as the people that are responsible for it, I believe, as they intended, because of the horror, the abomination that happened in Old St. Patrick's 3 weeks ago or so, and the aftermath of that, the drag queen that came out and did the press conference saying that they informed St. Patrick of this and they weren't trying to sneak anything by on anyone. That man, dressed as a woman, brother, actually said the Pope has made homosexual marriage is legal now, and he even said fiducia, he knew the name. He knew it in Latin. So, yeah, it is being used for the exact explicit illicit purpose that I think was behind the writing of it to begin with.
Well, Vatican officials should understand something about how the way news cycles work, the way spin works, and how something like this is going to come out and then be used by the church's traditional enemies. They should understand this. Either they don't, and which is, you know, at best naivete, at worst it's an inexcusable kind of ignorance, or they do know, they're just leveraging it.
I got an ID here really quick for our stations down the line. This is the Crusade Radio Network. Okay, all good. No, they should know that. Maybe they do know it, and they're just pretending like they don't.
Yeah, they certainly should know it. I mean, because it's not like the church doesn't have practice with the way these things happen. You can't control the spin once the thing's out of the gate. Once the news is out, you can't control the spin. And every time Cardinal Fernandez came out and said, "But look, the church has reaffirmed her teaching. The document is clear. Marriage is between one man and one woman." Well, we understand that. The document actually is clear on that. And yes, I read the document, so it's not as if I'm, you know, obloviating about it without reading it, just looking at other people's headlines. I took the time to read it. I read it carefully. I reread certain passages. But the fact of the matter is, in this document, which encourages priests to give quote-unquote spontaneous blessings to homosexual couples and adulterous couples, although it doesn't use the word adultery, couples living in irregular relationships, mm-hmm. It's not cautious to speak in terms of sin and the need of the priest to do something evangelical to call people back from sin. It's not that we don't talk to sinners because they're icky. You know, that's not Christian. That's certainly not Catholic. That's certainly not following Christ, imitating Christ. But for all the people who say, well, let's be Christ like Christ ate with, you know, publicans and sinners, and he was denounced for that by the Pharisees. Absolutely. But what did he do? He called them back from sin. St. Matthew the publican, he didn't say, keep being a tax collector. No, he said, come follow me. And St. Matthew dropped everything and followed our Lord. The woman caught in adultery, which we just read about recently in the Lenten liturgy. He had her, you know, he didn't exonerate her. He stopped them from killing her. And then what did he do? He said, go and sin no more. This is what our Lord did. He called sinners to repentance by showing them mercy, but he didn't chuck justice out of the window, right?
Right.
And this is all over the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord was absolutely consistent. So, yes, by all means, priests should reach out to people who are in these irregular relationships and so forth, but not to tell them, you're fine where you are. It's to tell them, look, here, you need to live a sacramental life. You need to come back to the sacraments. This is the only way that you can find happiness, right?
Right.
So, yeah, the church needs to be consistent on her teachings on these things, but the pastoral approach has to be such that people understand the problem of sin and what the remedies are. That's what the saints did.
And this is the, of course, this is what's going on here. And we have instant communication now. Perhaps this was happening 500 years ago. You just didn't know it in a localized area. But today, with word traveling at literally the speed of light, if you go back and do the Michelson-Morley experiment here, you know, as you said, brother, if the Vatican doesn't know this, it ought to know it. And it ought to also know that you got to correct this. This is on you. We have 2 minutes left before I got to go. We have a hard break coming up. This is something that has to be corrected. If it's not corrected, then you have your de jure law and you have your de facto law. This is just going to become de facto in many, many people's minds, isn't it?
Well, and yes, and that is the way that the progressivists work. They say, well, we're not changing doctrine, we're just being more pastoral. And what they really mean is, and what they're in effect doing, is they're making an end run around the church's faith and morals, which is infallible, and they are, through quote-unquote pastoral means, changing those teachings. So they're saying, well, we're not changing the teachings, but they're doing things that show that, in their minds, the teaching has changed. And praxis and doxis, right, practice and doctrine have to follow. They have to be consistent. I mean, yes, you need to temper justice with mercy. Yes, you need to reach out to the sinners and walk with them and eat with them and so forth, like Jesus did.
Right.
But the way to, but there's a purpose to that. The purpose isn't, okay, Jesus left your house, you know, he called you down from the sycamore tree and he went into your house to eat with you, and then when he left, you were the same publican that you were before. And you were ripping people off. You were defrauding people, you know. No, he called that man out of that. He called that man out of that kind of sin. So that's the job of Catholics and of course a fortiori of the clergy.
All right. He is Brother Andre Marie of the St. Benedict Center, host of Reconquest Radio on the Crusade Radio Network. And you can get a new episode every Wednesday evening at crusadechannel.com. Brother, God bless you. And thank you as always. And we shall talk soon.
You're welcome, Mike. Looking forward to it. God bless you and God bless the listeners.
All right. Thank you very much.